Big D Entertainment presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions. He's a variety entertainer, a former broadcaster and columnist, a true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Happy weekend, Dave. It is time for the seventh episode of the Dave Holly Hour podcast, of which I happen to be Dave Holly. Named it after myself. I know, self-aggrandizing, wasn't it? I guess I really should have had my good voiceover man do a Holly, Dave Holly, you know, the whole Bond theme. Yeah, but that would have been a little bit crazy, huh? Anywho, it is so good to have you along, and you are set for another great hour as we've got two incredible guests today. As all the guests have been, they've been really incredible, and we're going to continue that on down the highway, as Bachman Turner Overdrive used to say many years ago, kids, many, many years ago. But we have a couple of great guests. They are Nancy Halverson, Executive Director of Levitt at the Falls. Talk about a bright spot in the arts and entertainment world of the Sioux Empire during the summer of 2019. Amazing things took place. We'll find out more. Also, what maybe some of the plans are for 2020. Don't expect to hear who's going to be on the docket for it yet, though. I tried three times to get her to spill the beans. She wouldn't. But a guy that'll spill beans for about anything, especially if it means getting a laugh out of it, Nathan Holtz. He's a local comedian. He also happens to run Boss's Comedy Club, and we'll talk to him later on in the show as well. Plenty of giggles to come your way. For those of you that have been listening for a while, you know one of the things we started relatively early on is the honorable mention. And for those of you listening for the first time, and I don't mean to bore the people that have been listening continually, the honorable mention is not one of those good old-fashioned there was the blue ribbon, the red ribbon, the white ribbon, and an honorable mention. No, this is honorable mention. Like, you deserve to be mentioned about this. This one comes from my own nephew. It's an item every week that just kind of makes me smile or guffaw or scratch my head like I'm doing right now. And my nephew Andy, well, he's in his 40s now, but he's still a great young man. And he plays bass in an indie rock band down in Nashville, and great musical talent. The whole family has musical talent, and he's just a fun guy, and he can be a little bit sarcastic at times too, because he wrote on Facebook, "Dear sound guy from last night, I'm sorry that you actually got paid to run sound for a no-name band playing for a lovely person's birthday party. I sincerely hope that all your dreams of doing huge gigs for Florida Georgia Line and Rascal Flatts come true. Hopefully, that Indiana Jones hat you wear so dashingly will win you more friends than your personality. Sincerely, Andy." Andy, thanks for putting a smile on my face, because as someone that's done some entertaining in the past, it is so important, and that's one of the things we've already seen and heard in this show in the early going, is how important it is for artists to work together and to support each other. And when you get somebody like this that Andy later on, when somebody responded back to something he said, had a fun word in it, and if you want to know what it is, I won't say it because I don't want to embarrass his grandmother. It was just a fun one. You can email me about it, and I'll tell you what took place. It's not a cuss word or anything, but it's just cute. There are also all these times, you know, where people are going to be looking for work as entertainers. And when you have the opportunity to hire them. And I mean hire them, as in pay them or reward them in some way. Please don't ever use this phrase when you're seeking out somebody to help you out in an event that you're hosting. Well, you could do it for the exposure. No, not going to fly. give them something. Maybe some in-kind advertising is all you can do. Maybe some sort of service that you can provide them. But don't say just for the exposure. Yeah, you may not get them to do anything for you at all then, okay? So work together, people. That's what we're here for, to support the arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire. We've got more coming up in just a minute with the good friend Nancy Halverson on the Dave Holly Hour next. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. Harper and Jack were nestled snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. The Night Before Christmas is one of the first American children's classics. Preserve the timelessness while personalizing it for your family. Dipsy Doodle Productions will provide you a downloadable digital file incorporating the names you want in this family keepsake. More rapid than eagles, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name.
No Dasher, no Dancer, no Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen.
To make this part of your Merry Christmas for only $39.95, contact Dipsy Doodle Productions at dazzleshows.com and use the Contact tab. Put "Twas the Night" in the subject line.
Merry Christmas, Harper and Jack, and to all the Pearsons, a good night.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
Welcome back. I tell you what, this is a privilege for me. It has been a long time since I've spoken to this lady. Back in those days, it was on traditional airwaves. Modern technology, we're back at it again. Nancy Halverson, how are you?
I'm great, my friend. So good to see you.
Likewise. And to talk to you about something that was also so great for this city this summer, the Levitt at the Falls. You just mentioned recently, Beyond Expectations.
Oh, yeah.
And let's fill in for the people that are unaware of it, because there's still quite a few that are kind of going, well, what do you mean you've been to the Levitt?
How could that be? Right. How could they not know?
Yeah, I know. We've had a lot of publicity about it, but, you know, it still takes a long time to get to the masses.
It does.
But the Levitt Center is a wonderful outdoor music venue.
Yeah.
Or guess what, people? It's a four-letter F word.
Mm-hmm.
Shows are free.
Free! Yay! We love that part.
Oh, wow. And what shows you had this past year, too.
Yeah.
Tell us, first of all, before we get into a lot of details, because I know statistically alone, we could talk for probably half an hour.
Yep. We got the numbers.
Yeah. They're big numbers, too. But let's talk a little bit about the Levitt Foundation, how it came about, how it came to Sioux Falls, and what it truly is.
You know, this is one of my all-time favorite stories to tell, because it touches my heart every time I get to share it again. So thank you for inviting me to do
Anytime.
That. So Mortimer Levitt was a very poor boy. He lived on the East Coast. His father actually sold trinkets at Coney Island for a living. And Mortimer would go to work with his father. He would hear the music at Coney Island, want to go see the shows, but he couldn't afford a ticket. And he swore as a child that if he ever made his fortune, he would make music free for everyone. And
what
that's what he's done.
Story.
Isn't it amazing? I mean, it really just planted something in his heart, and he set out to do it, and he made it happen. So then he and his wife, Mimi, started with an amphitheater, actually where they lived in Connecticut. It was a amphitheater that the city wanted to renovate, so they put in the lead gift for it. They were so amazed with the response from the community, they said, we can do more. And so they started building these Levitt pavilions all over the country. So we are the eighth in the network. And they come in, they find a city that is interested. It's very competitive. They meet with the city leaders, and they make an agreement, a three-way agreement, where it's the Levitt Foundation, the city, and then a private nonprofit, which is our Friends of Levitt, which I run. Together, the city donates the land. The Levitt Foundation puts in some of the money to build it, and the nonprofit has to raise the other third. So they build the venue. Once it's built, the city steps back. The city will own it, but they don't put any more operating dollars into it. We will continue to raise funds. The Levitt Foundation nationally will continue to give us some funds, and that's how it goes. But it means that we can make all these great shows free.
It's just amazing. And you hear something like that, you know, from the outside looking in, you might think, well, yeah, I wonder what the talent's like and so forth. Don't worry about that. This was top notch.
You know, it was so much fun choosing the bands. And really, there's a lot of kind of misunderstandings about it. A lot of times people think that the artists go from Levitt venue to Levitt venue around the country, but that's not the case at all. The Levitt understands that every community is different and that the musical taste of the community are different. And so we get to choose them all with the exception of one. There's one Levitt national tour that happens each year. And this past year, it was Flor de Toleache. So it was an all-female mariachi that has just won the Grammy for Best Latin Music. So they're not slackers. I mean,
exactly.
These are great.
Yeah. You got a Grammy under the belt. They're pretty okay.
And they were phenomenal. But what the Levitt National kind of challenges us to do as we curate the season is to really think about our community. What will they respond to? What kinds of music would they like? And who can we put on our stage that looks like our community? So if we have a large demographic that's Spanish-speaking, we're going to try to find Spanish-speaking bands. We're really going to try to deliver so that everybody sees somebody that looks like them and sounds like them when they come to the Levitt at some point in the season, and that they'll feel welcome and feel like it's a place that they can come and be a part of a community.
How far in advance did this take place before we actually got to the point of opening night?
A long time. You know, the stories I've heard, it goes back 10 years. Tom Dempster knew somebody who knew somebody at the Levitt National, brought them to town, and they basically fell in love with our community. Tom Dempster went to the Community Foundation and said, I'm a big thinker, but I need a strategic partner who could help get things done. And of course, that was my dear friend, Jennifer Kirby, who gets things done. And so Jennifer became the board chair, and really together they committed about 10 years of their lives until we opened.
That's fantastic. You know, it was interesting because in terms of my own personal part of it, my wife and I love to go down to Falls Park.
Yep.
And so we would drive past and we'd see things going up throughout its construction period. It's like, looks like it might be kind of fun and so forth.
Cool.
And then the opportunity came around. You were looking for volunteers to help out throughout the summer. And so we thought, let's give it a shot. And we go down there and you hold the volunteer training on that stage. And when you open up the back and everybody walks in, sits down on that stage and looks out and you go, wow.
Pretty cool.
This is a great place.
It is a beautiful venue. Beautiful. It's beautiful, you know, just because of the landscape for one thing. But to think about what it used to be, you know, I mean, to remember the brown field that space was for so long, everybody sort of just turned their head and walked by it. Now it's the centerpiece, but it also is acoustically beautiful. I mean, when you're a band and you're playing on that stage, it is a great sound.
In fact, what do they tell you after they've been here?
You know, they all tell us that it's phenomenal. I mean, they just can't get over it. And in fact, the folks from the National Levitt all came to our opening weekend and they kept saying time and time again, the acoustics here are incredible. You can sit in the front, you can sit in the back, and you hear every bit of it. Now, part of that is the landscape, but I also have to give some love to our partners in this. Rob Euling and DMM Systems, they do all of our production work, and they are world-class, just world-class.
You know, in fact, one of the things that I thought was maybe just a bit of a downfall was the fact that the sun was still up so often that we didn't always get the great
lights.
Full effect of the lights.
I know.
Because they were great.
They are beautiful. They are beautiful. We knew that going in, but we thought, no, we need to do this. You know, and next year, this year it was 30 concerts.
Shows, and you're expanding
next
to 50.
Year it's 50. So we will go further into the fall. So we'll get to see more of the lighting next year.
We like that.
Yep.
All right. So let's talk some of the statistics then.
Sure.
30 shows took, 30 were scheduled. You had to cancel a couple because good old Mother Nature in South Dakota doesn't always abide by our rules.
But we were pretty lucky. I mean, we only lost, I say, 2.5 shows.
Right.
One got started and then the lightning started. So 2.5 shows we lost, which was pretty good.
That is.
Yeah.
Good batting percentage that way.
Absolutely.
You started off on a bang. And then you bring in another national act and trumpeter Allen, correct? Last name was Allen?
Cole Allen. Yep.
And I'm sitting there going, wow, this is amazing. And then it's like, might be kind of tough to top.
Yeah.
Then we go back another week later. oh, that's amazing. And the amazings out of our mouths just kept adding up all summer long.
I'm so glad.
Yeah, it was so phenomenal. Glad. And you know, like you said, that the Levitt is good enough to say, hey, we want to see what interests your area and your community. And one of those would be Spooncat.
Absolutely. You know, I would say we are so proud of the fact that out of our 30 concerts last year, 10 were South Dakota artists.
Yeah. And then Brulé.
Brulé. Oh, my gosh. That was incredible.
I didn't get to stay for the show. We had to run down because a friend of my wife's wanted a CD. So I thought, okay, we'll just hop out of the car and go over to the merch tent and buy one.
Good luck.
It's like they're sitting on the other side of Phillips Avenue
for
this.
It was crazy. There were over 8,000 people. Now, the green was built for 3,000 to sit comfortably. 5,000 squished standing room. And we were at 8,000.
Yeah.
And probably more. But, you know, it gets to the point where they just keep moving and you can't count them. but it was remarkable. And I tell you what Paul and the band did that night to really mesmerize that audience and bring a sense of joy and peace and community, it was awesome. I mean, it was truly awesome. And I wish everybody could have been there, you know. But I have to say, as the venue manager, so to speak, I'm sitting there and people keep coming and they keep coming and I'm going, oh my God, what are we going to do with them all? But they were beautiful. Everybody was so respectful and well-behaved and engaged. It was a great night.
That's a good thing. No doubt about that. So what was the first year projection for total in attendance?
You know, honestly, when I was talking to my peers, the other executive directors from the other Levitts around the country, they said, now don't get your hopes up, right? First year, it's going to take people a while. You may get 20,000, maybe. You'll have days when you have 200 or 300 people on the lawn. Don't let that worry you. It'll grow. Well, holy mackerel.
It grew.
We were almost at 54,000 people by the time it was all said and done. And that's with having to cancel.
Right.
You know, so extrapolate that out. I mean, who knows how big the number would have been, but I mean, it was remarkable, and we never had a day where we had less than 500, 600 people on the lawn.
And that's amazing because there were some times when that lawn was about 98 degrees, too.
Oh, it was hot some days. It was really hot, yeah.
But fantastic numbers, obviously. But what maybe surprised you most of all out of the first season besides the numbers?
You know, I guess surprised isn't the right word. I think pleased because it was my vision, and to see it come to fruition really meant so much to me. So I wasn't surprised, but I was delighted. That's okay. Was the diversity on the lawn. You know, people from all walks of life. We saw, you know, CEOs of major corporations down to people who I know it was a struggle for them to have a meal that day. Mm-hmm. You know, and in fact, one of our super fans, we call him, is a homeless gentleman who came to every concert.
Wow.
And he just became a part of our family. Yeah. We looked for him, you know, every night, and he looked for us, and it, just the relationships that were built. It was just beautiful.
Well, that's a good word you used right there too, family, because that's the other great aspect of this is a family venue. These are family events. Yes, there may be some wine, beer, a couple of mixed drinks and so forth, but food trucks are there. You got things for the kids to play in.
Oh, yeah.
In the back, and there's always something going on in addition to the show itself.
Absolutely. And, you know, that couldn't happen without all of the community partners that we have. You know, Sanford stepped up from the beginning and said, we want to be your season sponsor. And they brought out those great blue blocks that you're talking about that the kids were playing with. Of course, then we had different genre sponsors, you know, Avira Health right there beside Sanford. Everybody's playing nicely together. We love that. You know, we had some of the banks who were there. Everybody's supporting a different piece of it. And then each concert had a sponsor. So there were multi-levels of involvement where people just said, we want to be a part of this. We want to make it happen. It's not about yours or mine. It's about how do we bring this together for everybody.
Since these are free,
yes,
you don't have to have a season ticket.
Right.
What type of memberships and so forth are available for people?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
You knew I'd get to it.
I know. I appreciate it. You know, one of the things that we've been trying to do is really create that feeling of family and membership and all of that. So we do have, for folks who can help pay for some of this, we have a tiered membership where at $100, you get a t-shirt and all that kind of stuff. But then it goes up And so at the top level, which we call our Platinum Friends level, they actually get to use some of that parking that's right behind the venue, which is a nice little perk. They get drink tickets from our friends at JJ's. So just different ways of saying thank you, but also to get people thinking about how can they participate throughout the year. So in our off season, we're going to be building towards doing some kind of intimate concerts. We just had one in September with Carrie Newcomer, who is a beautiful singer-songwriter, and we did it at Queen City Bakery.
Oh, fun.
So those invitations go out to our platinum donors. They pay to come to the concert, you know, small amount, but they know that they're giving back so that in the summer it could be free for everyone.
All right. So as you build toward next year,
yes,
what are the things that you said, okay, you know, we had a great, I mean, we got to pat ourselves on the back and everybody else is patting us on the back, but what do we want to improve on?
You know, there's always room for improvement. One of the things that we realized is that the food trucks were a huge hit. So we're working with the Parks District now to try to figure out how can we make a little bit more space for another food truck and sort of make those lines easier and less obtrusive on the grass. How do we move JJ's so that he has a little bit more space? We really felt like although the Sunday concerts were great concerts, they weren't as well attended as some of the others. And we want to be more intentional about doing things for really young audiences because, you know, that's a passion of mine. So on Friday mornings, we'll do a kids show that's really a children's artist. And then Sundays, we'll have off because it just it didn't work for most people. You know, you're getting ready for your week to start. So we're going to try that this year, see how it goes. And again, just really looking for more diversity in our curating of the season. We're looking at some great bands already. I can't tell you who yet, but we've got some exciting things coming.
I
know.
Are you taking hints or are you taking suggestions?
Oh, I definitely take suggestions.
I've got a list.
When we've got 50 to book, I need all suggestions.
Okay. Yeah. So what does that process take? Getting everybody in these, you know, in the venue, getting them to town, making sure that it's not overlapping with somebody else.
Absolutely.
And making sure it can fit into their schedule and tours.
Absolutely. And we're also trying to be sensitive to what other people have going on in town. You know, downtown Sioux Falls does such a great job with their First Fridays. So I'm talking to them all the time saying, okay, what are you going to book this night? Because I'll book something really different. Or maybe I can book something complimentary. So that it's just about making downtown a better place for everybody, you know, and there's lots of people. I mean, there's plenty for everybody to do.
Yeah. Well, even since you left town and came back.
Oh, unbelievable.
Thousands more.
Unbelievable. Like, where do they all come from?
They have moved in.
They have.
And been great for the community. I mean, it's such a, in fact, just kind of a little sidebar that I want to tie in with that is one of the great parts about the Levitt is the digital video board.
Oh, yes.
And the high class, high quality of those productions made my heart go,
pitter-patter.
I love Sioux Falls.
Yeah. And, you know, that was really such visionary thinking. South Dakota Public Broadcasting, they knew they were looking for a new location for their offices. They knew the Levitt was coming in. And so they're right down there across the lawn from us, and they have been great partners. And I know that wasn't by accident that they're where they are. So they came on board this year, and they, I think it was 7 that we ended up doing. One got rained out. They brought over 11 cameras, a full crew. They would shoot the concert live, project it onto the big Daktronics board. But then the follow through on that, which is really cool and everybody is enjoying right now, is that now they're playing back the concerts on SDPB with their No Cover, No Minimum series. So like the other night, we got to watch the Way Down Wanderers all over again. It was like, this is awesome. So, you know, what a great way to be good stewards of what we're given in this community. And to me, it's so important that we do collaborate and we do share those resources, because now people who couldn't get to the lawn for whatever reason, health, distance, whatever, they can see it on STPB and still enjoy it.
Right. And it's going to help all of us that loved it during the summer.
See it again.
Make it through the winter.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You mentioned something. We were just at an event together this last week. You said it even sounds a little bit corny.
Yep.
But I'm going to let you tell the story about the word community.
Sure. So we were thinking about this the other day, you know, what is the Levitt about? And kind of wrote down the word community and realized that the last 5 letters of that word are unity, U-N-I-T-Y. And to me, that was kind of a, how did we miss that moment, you know? Yeah. Of
how it, has that not been a bumper sticker in different colors?
Yes, and now it's going to be. Now it's going to be. Because, you know, for us this year with the Levitt, you know, we kind of had a tagline, our city, our music. Mm-hmm. But now I want to add that onto it. You know, community is unity. It's mm-hmm. it's bringing people together. It's again, having somebody on that stage that looks like you, sounds like you, and makes you know that this is your place. You're welcome here.
And it has been just phenomenal opening year.
Thank you.
Wish you the best, but we're not finished talking yet.
All right. Well, keep going. Let's keep going. It's too much
well,
fun.
Well, it is. And, you know, that's the thing is, so what do you see as the Levitt, you know, compared to all the other arts and entertainment in Sioux Falls, the Sioux Empire, South Dakota in general? Right. How do you, you know, put it in that landscape?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think it's all so strong. Again, I've been gone for 12 years. To come back and see the growth, one of the things that I'm really excited about is seeing more artists who can afford to be artists and live in South Dakota. And that's why we feel strongly at the Levitt about being able to include local artists to support them. Really, I mean, how can we have a rich cultural community if we're not supporting our artists? So one of the things that we've done too, thanks to our friends at Ballard Spahr, the law firm, they've given us a grant so that we can do opening acts again next year.
Excellent.
And that allows us that opportunity to bring those emerging artists up because it's so rich. And, you know, and it's rich because we live in a beautiful place and we have stories to tell about it. So I see the Levitt as playing a role in continuing to support musicians as they're coming up. I see us as playing a bigger role with community engagement off season and during the season. One of the things that was so great last year is we had some artists who have stories. All artists have stories, but these were special. Galen Lee was one of our artists, and Galen has brittle bone syndrome, and she's been in a chair her whole life, and she's literally, I mean, probably 3 feet tall.
Right.
She's a small person, but she plays her violin like it's a cello.
Yeah.
And incredible. So we took her to work with the kids at Children's Home because they need to see somebody who looks like them.
Yeah.
Right?
And there's so many ways that the people get inspired as well.
Absolutely. And then Sam Miletich, who is an incredible gypsy guitarist that we had from the cities, he lives with schizophrenia. So we took him to Avera Behavioral Health, and he did a private concert there for the patients. And those are places where I think we can have a real impact. You know, we can take these artists and their stories in where they can truly touch people's hearts and make a difference.
So you tell me that you can't let on as to who's going to be on next year.
You're going to keep trying, aren't you?
Of course I am. But what can we expect if we're adding 20 more shows?
More greatness.
Getting away from Sunday then.
Yeah.
What's our schedule going to look like?
Yeah. So we will be Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights at 7 again. Friday mornings probably around 10.
Mm-hmm.
We will go from Memorial Day to Labor Day. Did I say that right?
Labor Day.
Memorial Day to Labor Day. So it's a long series. You know, it's going to take us from spring to fall, pretty much, which will be a lot of fun. As far as the musical mix, I think, you know, we're still going to try to look in the genres because that helps us just know how to book. So we'll have another women in song genre where we'll have some just powerhouse ladies. We got a couple that are really going to take you to church. I'll give you that hint. They're going to take us to church. I love that. We're going to do some jazz, rhythm, blues kind of stuff.
Oh.
We're just listening.
That was so powerful.
Oh, yeah. We were just listening to a young man today. Again, I can't share with it because we're kind of talking to his agent, but, you know.
Thought third time was going to be the charm. You might trip on that one.
No. I will say when he was 7 years old, he performed on the Ellen DeGeneres show.
Uh-huh.
That's how much of a protégé he is.
Okay. So now everybody's going to be watching old reruns of Ellen.
You can look at that. We're working with the Sioux Falls Pride, and hopefully we'll have an artist during Pride weekend. So we're really excited about that. The National is down to their three finals acts that they're looking at for the national tour. And none of those would disappoint. I mean, they are three incredible groups. So just a lot of great stuff. A lot of great stuff.
Well, we look forward to that. In the meantime, on personal note, first of all, great to have you back in town.
Thanks,
you and Bruce. And I know he's going through something right now that I went through a year ago at this time.
Yeah,
rehab on a new knee.
New knee.
No fun.
But hopefully I'll get my dance partner back.
There you go.
That's what I'm hoping for.
But you've been involved in the arts and entertainment your whole life. So now with this position, how much time does it leave you to do other things?
You know, this first year, it hasn't left a lot of time, and that's been okay. It's been fun to build it from the ground up, you know, kind of setting everything. But we'll see as time goes on and we kind of get it more on a roll, how it goes. You know, we are still, the Fabulous Jadesmen are still playing once
still
in a while.
Playing, yeah.
So we actually played 4th of July at the Levitt, which was fun.
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yep. So we'll see. You never know.
Okay. But aside from that, then, what about just, you know, what do you like to do to go out and have a good time?
You know, I'm so happy to be back here and be with friends and family. You know, it was wonderful. We lived in Greenville, South Carolina for 12 years, and that was wonderful. And we had great opportunities and great friends there. But this is just home, you know. It's just looking forward to Thanksgiving and cooking for everybody and just that kind of stuff. And I do have to put a plug in our son, who is 20 now.
That's
hard to believe, because he was a little guy when we were here before. He's actually, he finished his freshman year at Dakota State in the cyber operations, but now he's on the road with Up With People.
Good for him.
And he is in Italy right now having the time of his life.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah, so tracking down him, keeping, you know, spying on him all over the world, that's been a full-time gig.
Well, in the meantime, we are thankful to have you back in
this community.
And so glad that you are part of that unity and community.
Thank you.
Special thanks to Josiah's for allowing us to record here today.
And great coffee.
Great coffee all the time. Just a fun place. And that's what we love about places like Josiah's and so forth, is local.
Absolutely.
And that's what we love about the Levitt.
Thank you.
So looking forward to 2020.
Thanks, Dave.
All right. Thanks, Nancy. We'll have more of the Dave Holly Hour coming up in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tootey provide the very best chiropractic care to Sioux Falls. At XL Chiropractic, the focus is to improve your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will, relieving your pain and helping you in your wellness goals. Discover how to get results the natural way. 605-332-9235 or xlchiros.com. That's EXCELCHIROS.com. XL Chiropractic, excellent care for excellent people.
Welcome back. Once again, here's Dave Holly.
It is great to be here at Boss's Comedy Club, speaking with the chief cook and bottle wash himself, Nathan Holtz. How are you?
I'm very good. Thank you
Glad
for having me,
that.
Dave. I appreciate it.
This is a pleasure.
We got
you like this?
Yeah, we got like real official mics.
Oh,
and
yeah.
This is really nice.
Well, thank you.
I'm impressed.
Appreciate that.
And you have like a mat with your logo on it.
The whole works.
This is fantastic.
Well, thank you.
This is the most professional podcast I've ever been on.
See.
And we just started.
That's what I was aiming for.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? I really want to do this right. I want to make it look professional, sound professional, good production, and so forth. And especially if there's ever a time at the Boss's Comedy Club and speaking to Nathan, I want him to say, this is the best podcast I've ever been on.
I've been on several podcasts. This is by far one of the most professional. I ran one, too. I'm very impressed.
Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate that. I'm impressed by this place and just the fact that Sioux Falls and the Sioux Empire has a good comedy scene going on these days.
It's really incredible lately.
Yeah.
It's
come so far over the past few years.
I mean, when I started 10 years ago, goodness, almost 11 years ago, we had a comedy club in town that did weekly shows, but they had an open mic once a month. They charged $6 for you to get in to see the open mic or perform at the open mic.
Not even a free beer.
No. You if you brought six people and they paid, you got to get in for free.
But
otherwise it was $6 to and then still buy a drink. And they didn't serve glasses of water. You had to pay for bottled water.
Oh goodness.
Yeah. It was
as a performer, you had to buy your own bottled water.
As I was the cook. and I still had to pay to get in and water
and paid for water. You've come a long way.
I try to take care of the comics. That's my main goal. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go back to your beginnings before we get into Bosses, before we get into this kind of transformation that's taken place over the past few years. So what made you say, you know, I like making people laugh, and I think I can do it?
I've been a performer from when I can remember. I think it was like 6 or 7 is the first time I did a play. I had one line, totally forgot it. It was in front of the entire congregation at church.
Oh, yeah.
It was the nativity scene. Mm-hmm. I was one of the wise men. Boy, were they miscast on that. I was a wise cracker. No, sorry, that's a dumb joke.
Reminder, add sound effect of the rim shot right there.
No, and then, you know, I tried to do, I did a couple like theater productions as a kid. Like they had the Buffalo Creek Theater Players in my hometown of Glencoe, Minnesota. And so I did that, and I always liked being in the spotlight. I used to put on plays in front of for my parents. I used to do dance numbers. Basically, I'd put on all of MC Hammer and make my parents listen through it while I danced through the whole album.
Did you have the right attire?
I had close, you know, as close as a 9-year-old can have.
Can get to parachute pants.
Yeah, to get to parachute pants. I had my brother's windbreaker pants. You know, he's 12 years older than I am. So, I stole that album too from him. He had. I don't get to claim that I bought MC Hammer. My brother had it.
Okay. No copyright infringement, thankfully. Just it was already paid for.
Mm-hmm. So, and then. Before high school, I tried to do football and stuff like that. And then I just found this out. I thought I left football like just because I was like, I wasn't feeling it. You know, I was getting picked on and stuff like that. But it turns out I was asked to not come back. The coaches.
What age?
This is in 7th and 8th grade.
I didn't know they did that to 7th and 8th graders.
I didn't either. They didn't basically say, no, he can't come back. But the coaches told my parents, like, he just doesn't have the killer instinct. You know, I was a big kid that just didn't want to hurt anybody.
Right.
You know, because I've hurt enough people just accidentally, you know, just being a big, you know, just a bigger kid than everybody. And so my parents... My parents were like, maybe you should go back out for theater. And so that next year I was, yeah, I'll do the play instead. Mm-hmm. So, and then I went to college for theater here at Augustana College. And that's when in high school I started doing improv, Just Say No improv, which is a lot like the improv you see on Who's Lining Anyway, except it's completely scripted and about how you shouldn't do drugs.
Completely scripted improv.
It's they give you
the oxymoron.
Yeah, they give you they don't give you a script. They give you a step by step of what needs to happen. So the words are unscripted, but the story is completely scripted.
Okay.
And then it's basically, you know, don't bully and all that kind of stuff. So we'd go. I basically get out of school to go perform for other people in the school. You know, so it's just a real nerdy thing. You're like, don't party. And if people just say no and all that kind of stuff. And so I went to college and I joined up their improv troupe, Brand Name Improv, which I think is still going at Augustana. And loved it. Absolutely. And then I was still in the theater major. And then I did theater or improv for all this time. And eventually I was still in school and all my improv friends were graduating and moving away, and I didn't want to start over, so I was like, well, I gotta figure out how to do this on my own. And so I took an independent study on stand-up comedy to learn and teach it myself, and or to teach myself how to do it. And then my showcase at school I did in front of 300 people at midnight one of the last days of the semester on my junior year.
And how long of a set did you do?
20 minutes.
That's a lot to bite off for a first time, isn't it?
I didn't know that. Yeah.
You know, because most open mics you go to, it's going to be a 7-minute set.
What, 3 minutes usually.
Oh, wow.
In like even large cities, it's 3 minutes.
Okay.
And like if you're known or, you know, pretty regular, they'll sometimes give you 5. In South Dakota, it's usually 5, though.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But so 20 minutes to jump off into a different ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. And the
sink or swim time?
Kind of. I had a semester of rehearsing and practicing and, you know, like writing, all that kind of stuff. And I had a very nice teacher that was kind of like a director. She's like, that wasn't funny, you know? So I got
Julia?
Yeah, Julia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. She's very encouraging at everything. And so she was fantastic about like, yeah, that's probably not funny, Nate. So she kind of directed so it kind of came off one man-y show kind of thing, but it was a lot of fun and I loved it. So,
do you still remember some of that?
I still do some of those jokes.
Ah, good for you. That means they've stood the test of time, then.
Sure, some of them. I haven't done a lot of them recently, but like one I got the day after. It's Christian College, for those who don't know Augustana. They had me in the bulletin for people to pray for.
Like because of what you're...
They just had a list of people that, you know, like, you this person needs you to pray for them. And I was on that list. Because I did a joke about, I saw a billboard that said Jesus is coming, and this time he's not going to pull out. Which is a bad joke. It's offensive, yeah. But it was at midnight.
So you thought it might fly back.
Yeah, it was fine.
What does the writing process entail for you to start coming up with the material and to be able to take it from idea of this could be funny to putting it on stage and making it funny?
I kind of adapt to the joke. Some jokes need to be worked out on stage for me. Like I'll just go up with a loose premise and kind of an idea. Like Just Say No Improv.
Right.
It's unscripted, but I have a guideline of where it needs to be. Bullet points I need to hit. Some I'll write out completely. I'm a little bit more of a storyteller, long form kind of guy. So a lot of times it's just the story. A lot of times it's things I've said already that were funny. If I'm in a conversation, and I must be the worst person to talk to, because anytime I say something kind of funny, someone laughs, I immediately stop the conversation and have to write it down. But yeah, I mean, it's so sometimes it comes off my head. I do a lot of improvising on stage as well. Like lately I've been just saying, what do you want to talk about? And I'll write jokes about what people shout out.
Wow.
So it's kind of fun
combining everything you've put together at this point.
Yeah. And sometimes they'll hit on things I've already written jokes or have stories on. So it's kind of, I've been doing this 10 years, maybe 11. My wife knows the math.
Over a decade.
Yeah.
That's how you can post it on all your press stuff. Over a decade
for a while. So I've written a lot of stupid jokes about something, and you know, so it makes it a little bit easier, but I also do like interaction with the crowd. You've done improv,
yes.
Do improv. So you understand like that tightrope is kind of fun.
That it can be.
You know, it can be brutal.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. But the it's stand up, you know, it's acting on a high wire is definitely, you know, a thrill. Yeah.
What's the biggest venue you've played now after 300 to start?
I did. I mean, that's still one of the biggest venues. I've performed at the Pavilion a couple times in the Belbis for like private events.
Mm-hmm.
I've performed at the Orpheum here in town. I opened for Mick Foley when he came to town. That's a whole mess. That's a whole other story. But I think those are the biggest. I do a lot of corporates, so a lot of times there's, you know, 600-700 people
right.
in a small ballroom, poorly lit and a bad PA system. So I've done that, but I wouldn't count that.
Well, let's move on then, talking about the comedy scene in general around the area.
Yeah.
It has blossomed. after some failed comedy places and so forth. It was like a handful of you just said, you know what, we still got to do something here. And I guess what I enjoyed about it, the fact that it's been growing, is the fact that, it's a lot of open mic.
Yeah.
Everybody gets a chance. There are good Sioux Falls comedians that none of us really knew were around this area prior. Yeah.
They didn't know either.
Yeah, true.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have the opportunity.
Yeah, we have such amazing talent. I mean, you know, you've been in South Dakota a long time. There's some super talented
amazing
people, you know, that, you know, not everybody has to go to a coast to be talented. And so we kind of been real lucky to kind of attract some of the ones that have been around. I would like to say, though, like, the comedy never really stopped. I mean, there was not... In the 10 years I've been doing this, there has been
a lull, maybe.
Yeah, there's, yeah. I mean, there's been, there's peaks and valleys, but it's always been here. It's always been constant. And that's the nice thing. I mean, Boonies used to do stuff when Fat Daddy's was open. Some of us were blacklisted. We weren't allowed back for various reasons. And so a lot of us had moved over to a couple bar shows where we took over a music open mic and stuff like that. So we've always kind of been around. It's just now we're starting to kind of get legs under us, I think, is very helpful. But even when Rookies was around, I don't know if you're familiar.
Yeah.
So Rookies was a sports bar that also did comedy for a while. And they did one open mic to find their host. They needed a host because they had been open 2 weeks and all of the comedians were like, do you guys have a host? And so they held an open mic and I went to that one and they asked me to be their host. And I was like, well, you can't just have me. I can't come up with a new 10 minutes every week.
Right.
Are good. You know what I mean? So I convinced them to have another open mic and continue doing open mics. And then when that ended, when Rookies decided they're no longer going to bring comics in because they were trying to sell the building so they could become the district, they just kind of shut it down and we moved everything to Bosses, picked up. And I had been working with Jeremy a little bit to make this room an open mic. So
you had an open mic here.
Yeah.
There's an open mic at Woodgrain.
Yep. Currently. Yeah. And then there's one at Books and Brews.
Books and Brews.
So every Tuesday there is an open mic. It's either at Woodgrain or Books and Brews. Mm-hmm. It alternates and I never can keep track. I just kind of go to one. No? All right. We'll go to the other.
Oh, nobody here? Must go to the other place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you've got open mics here.
Yep.
And then, in fact, that's an open keg.
Yeah, so it's open keg comedy.
Oh, my.
So $8 all you can drink. We throw a kegger every Wednesday. It's a lot of fun. And if you don't drink, that's fine, too. A lot of people don't get it. It's just, it's a full room filled with free comedy with decent food.
That's great food. No, it's great food here. In fact, I'm waiting to have some pizza and some toasted ravioli here in a moment. But we still have a few other things to cover here first.
Absolutely.
So let's talk, first of all, about Bosses becoming a comedy club then.
Mm-hmm.
What did it take, and what does it take to keep it going on a weekly basis?
Sure. So Wackos was the next comedy club after Rookies, and they opened up and closed 11 months later. And it was a fine club, and we were all pretty devastated. You know, they had done a lot for the local scene. They'd given us a great open mic space. We had moved our open mic from Thursday to Wednesday to accommodate for them. And so we were all kind of bummed, you know, that it just kind of shut down without a whole lot of notice. And so 3 in the morning, I think I had a few drinks. I texted the owner of Boss's Pizza and Chicken, Jeremy Seafelt, roughly 3:30 in the morning. I texted, hey, why don't we...
Well, they were still delivering at that time, weren't they?
Well, but he's not delivering pizzas. I texted him 3:30 in the morning, hey, let's open up a comedy club. And about 40 seconds later, he texted back, yeah. And I was joking.
Well, that's what you do.
I was kind of kidding. And but then we started talking about it, what it would take and what I would need and how we can really make this work. And so, yeah, I mean, luckily, luckily we have such a supportive person like Jeremy Seafield. Jeremy is an anomaly. He prefers an open mic. Like, he would much rather see someone work through a joke. Like, he really likes that process, which is very strange. And most comics don't like that. But he really likes to hear the nugget and watch it grow and blossom. And he's real supportive of comedy in Sioux Falls.
That's fantastic.
I mean, he really is. He's really just truly like an awesome person to be a fan of comedy and to have such means to help us out. And so I went into business with him because he's a great guy. I trust him. And so we did a little bit of remodeling. We redid the floors. We put in a door. It's not truly a door because it doesn't lock. It doesn't latch. It just so that's why
swings.
That's why you see someone who always sits next to the door to close it behind every time someone gets a drink or something like that. And then you know we're very very lucky in because our overhead cost isn't there. And if we didn't have such a sweet deal with Bosses, we probably wouldn't be open. Because it's hard. You're only open 2 days a week, and you have to make money off of that, and that's hard to pay rent and utility and a server and staff. And I'm the staff, so I'm pretty cheap.
In the meantime, one of the other things that you've started recently is a non-alcoholic option in some of your shows.
Yeah, so that is I wish I could take all the credit, but I can't. That goes to William Conway, who is a sober comic who has some friends that would be uncomfortable at a show where a lot of alcohol is being shown. So he pitched that to me, and I talked to him about pros and cons and stuff like that, and so we gave it a try. The first one was all right. Hope with the second one's going to be a little bit better. We hope we can gain steam with it every time. But yeah, it's an option for people who would be necessarily don't really want to be around people drinking or doing that kind of stuff and just all the things that have come with it. So we do it on a Sunday. It's a little bit earlier so you can go home and stuff like that. You can still catch the game, we're doing the next one December 8th, I believe.
Yes.
So that's going to be a great time. Come on down. It's only $10.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And so fantastic deal for some fantastic fun.
Yeah.
You get a laugh. You get to, sit around, enjoy some good pizza.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And chicken.
Yeah, and chicken, yeah. And toasted ravioli.
And toasted ravioli.
Yeah, that's
and
my
chislic.
Favorite. Yeah. Oh, the chislic, true. Yeah. I've forgotten about that. One more thing, though, before we get into more of just what Nathan Holtz is all about.
Sure.
But coming up this weekend, then, you have a great show. It's local showcase time.
Yeah, so that's what's one thing that I think Sioux Falls has always been missing in a comedy club is there's never been a huge emphasis on local. We have such great local guys and gals here telling jokes. I wanted to be more supportive of that than some of the comedy clubs in the past. And comedy clubs that I know of around the country don't really support the local scene. They use them when they need them, but not, they don't really, I try to foster and grow and support our comedy as much as possible. So that's why a lot of time my features and my middles and my hosts are all comedians. I also let my locals, headline, which is pretty rare from what I can tell. And but one of the things we do is we have a local showcases. We try to do it every month. It doesn't work every month, but most of the month, just all locals. So yeah, it's a great time. Come see
Excellent.
That.
Who's on the bill?
That is an excellent question that I know exactly off the top of my head. Let me see.
Or your top of your iPhone.
Yeah, I just don't want to. I just don't want to.
Miss anybody. That's always the bad part, isn't it?
So we've got Jake Cox, Reed Baxter, Eric Edwards, Ian Round Smith, Will Conway, and Rob Lethgoe.
All right, and that's Friday night, Saturday night.
Friday and Saturday night at 8 p.m. The tickets are only $10. Most of that goes to the comics, so just come out and support your local guys. That's how they get better. They see people like their jokes, or they didn't like that joke.
They know what to work on or what to avoid.
Yeah, but then also, I mean, their guys are bringing their best. They've been working on this stuff for a while, so it's a lot of fun.
So, aside from the comedy bit, what do you like to do? What are some hobbies and nightlife and other things that you go out for entertainment?
Sure. I'm a big movie guy. I like a lot of movies. I like to work on movies, too. I work on... I've been in a couple short films here recently. I was just in The Black Eyed Girl. my hobbies all sort of turn into jobs.
Passions?
Yeah, that... yeah. I don't have a lot of room for the other stuff. I mean, I watch a lot of TV, but that's also a passion of mine. So acting and stuff like that. So I don't have a whole lot. I at one point, I bought a shirt press, and I was making T-shirts and art for that kind of stuff. And then I was like, I can't do this. Not well anyway. So we got rid of that. But I just had a daughter a year ago. I'm happy to be a dad.
Excellent.
So I'm trying to soak up as much of that as I can. I like to hang out with my wife. I play a little guitar.
Okay.
I like, you know, just like playing music and stuff like that, listening to music. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Yeah, I mean, sometimes I'm a big shopper. I really like to shop.
Is there a go-to?
Yeah, so my wife and I's ideal date is like a good dinner and a run to Target. like a nice dinner and then let's just go wander Target for an hour and a half. I'm a big shoe fanatic.
Really?
I like shoes. I really like sneakers. But I also like, you know, like a nice set of dress shoes and stuff. Like. I like to have a good set of shoes for pretty much any occasion.
Okay, so how many?
It's not as big as you're thinking it's going to be.
So it's not a problem.
It's a problem.
It's a problem.
It's absolutely a problem. I'm not a sneakerhead in the sense that like, you see on the internet and stuff like that, because I usually like things that are ugly. Like, I don't want...
Don't give me a good-looking sneaker. Give me an ugly one.
Well, I want something to fit. I think there's a sneaker for every situation, right? And so I try to buy. I have what my wife and I we call show shoes, and they're shoes that I will only wear for certain shows.
Right.
But I'll have matching shirts for them, you know, or matching colorways,
coordination,
and stuff like that. I really like a bright colored sneaker. Like right now, I'm kind of wearing the all around shoe, the daily drivers, if you will.
All right.
Some good orange shoes. But let me do. I have probably like 15 pairs of shoes that I wear pretty regularly.
Pretty regularly. You justified it there. So that means there's more than 15?
No, there are, but they're like, they just haven't been thrown away.
Or taken to Goodwill.
Yeah. They shouldn't be taken to Goodwill. I wear them
out. Throw away was more appropriate.
Yeah, I wear them out. They are no longer shoes to be worn.
They were good friends.
The smell alone is a reason to throw them away. But like I said, I usually switch them out. I'm wearing different shoes pretty much every day.
Well, we'll give you that then. All right. But thank you for giving up your time tonight. That was the most important.
Are we done?
Yes, we are now finished.
This is it? I've got way more to say.
I know you do, but I've only... It's called the Dave Holly Hour, not the Dave Holly Day.
All right.
But
how
you will
you?
Be a return...
Could I hear about you? Let's talk over pizza.
We'll do that. We'll talk over pizza. It's time to go eat.
I had so much fun. Thank you for
having me. I did too. Thank you, Nathan. Appreciate it. We'll be back in just a minute.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Hey, thanks for joining us again this week. It's been a pleasure. Happy Thanksgiving. 1 week from today is Thanksgiving. Hard to imagine the holidays are just literally now right around the corner. Yes, we will have episode 8, A Crazy 8, next week for Thanksgiving. And it just may be a little different than what you're used to, but we will certainly talk about the things that we are thankful for. Thankful for all of you. Keep liking, keep responding, downloading. Make sure, if you haven't done so yet, go to the Dave Holly Hour Facebook page as well and like that. And we'll keep you up to date and informed and tell you about some of the great things going on. Speaking of, tomorrow night, the 22nd of November,
in the city of Sioux Falls. It is a wonderful spectacular. It's called Winter Wonderland that gets going. It's become an annual thing, and that will light up tomorrow night. They light it during the evening hours all the way through the 5th of January of 2020. It's beautiful. It is a wonderful thing. Very romantic, even. Might tell you that story on next week's episode, then, about what Falls Park's Winter Wonderland has meant in my life. In the meantime, there's going to be a lot of fun stuff coming up. Make sure you stay on top of it. And I'm going to be going out and watching some comedy tonight, tomorrow night, Saturday night. I think I've got a weekend full. Hope you have a wonderful week. We'll talk to you next week on the Dave Holly Hour. And make sure, if you have any ideas, suggestions, or just want to chit-chat about something, email me, DaveHollyHour@gmail.com. Remember, I'm Dave Holly. Every day is a holiday. Have a great week.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by Dazzle Shows Presents, The Vaudies, and Dipsy Doodle Productions, and is produced by Big D Entertainment.